Well, good morning, and welcome to worship here this morning at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I am so glad to have you here with us, that we have this time to gather for worship. And I have a list of announcements to go through that are great things that we get to share, so let me get through this here real quick. The first being, I have my brown paper bag still. If you came in the front doors, you couldn't help but notice we have a big pile of brown paper bags down there, which is an awesome thing to see that we'll be able to support Samaritan House. If you did have one that you wanted to fill up, they were asking them to be back by today. If you get it on the porch by tonight, I'm sure they'll take it tomorrow. I'm sure they will. But we do need those back if you want to get them back to us so we can take them over to Samaritan's House. Thank you to everyone who helped us with that, of course. Also coming up on October 9th, we're going to have a Blessing of the Animals celebration. It's a tradition that goes back many, many years in the church. And so we'll be meeting out on the lawn on Sunday, October 9th at 1 p.m. You are invited to bring any and all of those furry or scaly or feathered friends you have, large or small. We've had horses and goats and things on the lawn before when I've done this. So if you'd like to bring an animal out or a photo, to a memory, a way to represent your pet, we'll have a blessing of the animal service. We'll sing a couple songs and have a time to bless those animals. That'll be October 9th at 1. Also this Tuesday, the 27th, we'll be starting season 2 of The Chosen. We do this immediately after the His Table meal on Tuesday nights. You're welcome to come to dinner first and then stay for the Bible study. We watch through a different episode each week of the Chosen TV series. It's the Chosen of Jesus, his disciples and their walk with them. It takes you through the Gospels. We're going to be watching season 2, but if you haven't seen season 1, I promise it's okay. You can still come and join us. They are available for free online as well, but we'd love to have you come and join us as we do that. Our family ministries team wants to make sure everyone knows you're invited to the bonfire, our yearly bonfire. It's going to be Saturday, October 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. It's going to be out. It's on the corner of 32 Mile and Walcott Road. It's the southwest corner of the corner there. But we'll have a bonfire, a weenie roast, a hayride out in the pumpkin patch. It's just a fun evening for us to get together. So there is a sign-up sheet downstairs. We actually filled up the whole first sheet, which is a great thing. So we put a second sheet up. Let's fill that one up, too. We'd love to have you join us for that on October 8th. We also have the Craft Day Church fundraiser coming up. It's being hosted by Linda Zimmerman and Beth Sova. It's going to be September 17th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And they're saying bring any craft project you got, knitting, crocheting, scrapbooking, quilting, whatever you got. And they'll have tables and chairs and space set up for everyone. It's $20, and that'll include breakfast and lunch, and all proceeds are going to be donated to the church. If you have any questions, you can see Linda or Beth after church, and there is a sign-up sheet downstairs as well. And my last announcement is starting October 2nd here in just a couple weeks, the youth group will be reconvening and starting our weekly meetings. Our youth group's for all middle and high school students. We meet on Sunday afternoons from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We have a time for a little Bible study, a little lesson. We have time for a snack, and we have time for a whole lot of fun. We have a good time together, and I'd invite you to invite those students you know. Tell them to come and see us. We're looking forward to another great year, but that'll be October 2nd. We're starting back up. Whew, okay. Checking my list. That was everything. Uh-oh. Oh, this was the first note I got that had the other date on it. Thank you. Craft Day is not September 17th, because that was a week ago. It is October 15th, which would be in the future. Thank you for that. If you want to join them, October 15th for the craft day. I almost got through it without a mistake. Hey, it's good to be here. It's good to have this time. It's good to be with all of you. And so let us do what we're here to do. We celebrate the announcements, the activities we have going on, but we are here to worship. So let us worship our Lord. I invite you to stand with me as you're able to sing our opening hymn. We're going to sing number 377, It Is Well With My Soul.
Oh,
you join me in prayer? Almighty God, you create us, redeem us, and sustain us. Every moment of every day of our lives, you are there. In you we place our trust. When we face illness, conflict, and fear, you are our steadfast protector. When we suffer setback and loss, you restore us through your love. When our lives prosper and we are comfortable, you move us to share our blessings with others. In times of hardship and plenty, you alone are the source of the life that really is life. Holy God, in love and trust, we live the power of your resurrection each day through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is coming to us from the Psalms. It's Psalm 146, Praise for God's Help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. And this ends our first reading for today. I'm glad once again to have our choir up here with me to be singing this choir anthem, to be sharing their special talents with us today. This is Fall Like the Rain.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, choir. This time I'd like to invite any of our students or children or youth that would like to come forward to join me on the steps for our time with children to come on down. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today? Good? I got a good, I got a shrug, and I got a... Well, I'm glad you're here. Oh, there's more coming? Well, good. I'm glad they're coming. I see a few more little feet coming down the hallway here. We have a few more joining us. It's not just going to be us gentlemen up here today, and that's okay. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I was just wondering, as you guys came out the door of your houses this morning, if you came over here, if you made your way over here to church, was there something a little different as you came out today? A little different than previous Sundays that we've had here recently? No. It's not hot! You're crazy if you're saying it's hot out there. I'm going with him. It got cold, didn't it? We've had some hot weather going up to this just this past week. It's been nice out there. We could wear, well, some of us are still wearing shorts, and that's because he's a lot tougher than I am, I guess. But it's gotten cold out there, right? The weather's changed a bit this past week. We went from those 70 and 80 degrees to, we went out for a soccer game yesterday, and it was 50 degrees out there. That's a big change. It got cool out there. And that kind of happens every year, doesn't it? The weather, the seasons change. We've gone from summer, and now we're moving into fall, right? Or autumn, fall. The leaves are changing colors out there a little bit. They're going to start falling pretty soon. I'm sure you'll have parents sending you out there with rakes to start collecting those leaves, right? We got to get those raked up. Yeah, just wait. Don't you worry, buddy. You can keep waiting for Christmas. You got to get through fall first. But yeah, the seasons are changing, and that's something that just kind of happens every year. We go through the seasons. We go from summer to fall to winter, back to spring, back to summer. There's change that happens, and there's change that happens in our bodies too. In each of us, we're always changing. We might be growing a little taller or a little wider. We might have our fingernails growing or our hair growing in some cases. We're always changing. We're growing. There's things that are changing. And that's how we are. That's how our world is for us. But I was reading my Bible. It was just yesterday, actually, my devotion I was looking at. And it had a verse that reminded me of something that's the truth we always hold on to. And it's that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
And forever and ever.
And forever and ever. That's right. And that God doesn't change. That so even though all around us things are changing with us personally, with our families, with the weather, with school, with work, with games, with all those things. Yeah, all those things. There's all kinds of change going on all around us. But God stays the same. And you know, as I read that yesterday, it kind of gave me a little sense of peace as I read that, because sometimes my life can seem a little crazy. I can't possibly know why, but sometimes it seems a little crazy. But there's one thing that stays the same, and that's God. And you know why it gave me peace? Because I know that God loves me. And so that tells me that God has loved me, God loves me today, and God's going to love me tomorrow, no matter what happens around me or in me or to me. God's going to be there to love me. And that's true for all of us. That's true for each of you as you're growing and changing. That's true for us, everyone in this room. That's true for all of us. And so that was just something that gave me peace, and I wanted to share that with you, that even as things are changing, as the weather's getting cold and you got to start wearing a coat or a sweatshirt or even pants maybe, we know that change is happening, but that God is staying the same and that God loves us. And so I want to remind you guys of that today, and before you head back to Odyssey, I want to say a prayer for you, all right? So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for these boys and girls. I give you thanks that we get to gather, that we get to be here in your house, Lord, that we're in this place to worship you. And Lord, even as our circumstances change, the things happening to us and for us and against us, as things change, Lord, you are there. You're right there beside us. You're right there living in our hearts. You're bringing your love to us. And we give you thanks for that. I give you thanks for blessing each of these boys and girls. And I just pray that they enjoy the rest of their day learning about you, recognizing that love in their lives, so that we can go out in the world and continue to know that love. God, we do love you. We know that you love us. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. You're welcome to head back to Odyssey with Heidi and Leif back there or back to your seats. We'll see you later. Thank you. Well, it is a season of change, and things are changing. One thing remains that we're going to do, and we're going to keep praying, lifting our joys and concerns to our Lord. Those things that we celebrate, those things that need an extra measure of prayer, we will lift them up. And I just wanted to highlight for us quickly that we have some beautiful flowers adorning the altar up here this morning. Those were given by Jen Ricketts in memory and honor of her parents, Harold and Irene. We thank her for that and for helping make our space a little more beautiful this morning. And I have a few others that I wanted to share with us this morning, a few prayer concerns that came in. The first came from Laura Zaglin this week. She's asking prayers for a local family. A good friend of Joseph's mother passed away after a long battle with cancer, and was a friend of Laura's as well. She'd been canceling for 9 years against that cancer and passed suddenly this week. So we lift that family up in our prayers as they deal with their loss, as we support them in this time. I also received a message from Jenny tell her that Dale, her husband, had tested positive for COVID this past week. When I talked to her, he was dealing with some of the cold symptoms. He was doing okay, just feeling a little under the weather at this time. So just prayers for Dale that it passes quickly and that Jenny can avoid having it herself here. And then finally for me, I did receive a message just a little bit earlier this morning from Linda Shenburn's son. He shared with me that Linda last night went on home to be with her Heavenly Father. These were his words. This is what Matthew wrote. My mom died peacefully in her sleep overnight. She is with God, with her parents, and with David. It's so comforting to us to know she's there. Linda was a special woman. Wow. Sorry. I've been so warmly received here, and I'm so thankful for that, me and my family. And Linda Shenburn was one of those people from the moment I got here. She has made a difference in my life and in the lives of so many others who are out here. So many lives that we don't even know. So we are sad today for the loss of such an amazing individual. But Matthew's words, they rang so true for me. Linda's been battling. She's been ill. She's been hurting for some time. So while we're sad, I'm sad. We can rejoice and we can celebrate for Linda on this day. Because she is not suffering anymore. She is not in pain. She is with her loved ones. She is with the God that she loved so dearly. And for that, I give thanks. Even through my own tears, I give thanks for that. And I would just ask that we all continue to keep her family in our prayers for the family that'll be traveling. We don't have the arrangements yet, of course, and we will share them as they're made known to us. But keep the family in your prayers, even as we celebrate a life well lived by a good and faithful servant. We celebrate that life today. And those were the concerns that were shared with me. Nathan and Craig have the microphones. If you have one that you'd like to share with us, please catch their eye and share with us today.
We continue to keep Beth's eyes in our prayers.
Continued prayers for Beth. Thank you.
I received a text this morning from my niece who has a stepson, and he has extreme mental health issues. He's suicidal right now. And we ask for prayers for Brandon.
Absolutely. We lift up Brandon and his struggles this day and the family who's loving and supporting him in this time. Thank you. And we take these that we've heard We take the ones that I've lifted, the ones that have been shared with us. We take those that we're carrying in each of our hearts, each of our souls, right here in this time. And we go to God in silent prayer, knowing that God hears, no matter how, no matter when, no matter what we pray, God hears us. So let us take this moment and pray to our God. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you call us, you call to us, you ask us to trust you in every circumstance of our lives. Yet we acknowledge, Lord, that there are those times, sometimes far too often, when we do not. In those times of oppression and strife, we can lose hope in our future. When enduring those natural disasters, the suffering of illness, facing death, we can often grow bitter. We can forget about your love. Eager to be powerful or successful, we find ourselves wandering away from you, falling into the pain of addiction and greed, that of blind ambition. Absorbed in our own wants and desires, we can become blind to those around us in need of our care. For these and all our other sins, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. Forgive us, O God. Forgive our despair, our bitterness, and our fear. Once again, turn our hearts to you, that we may taste fullness of life and trust in your promised salvation. We have lifted to you those individuals, those families, those situations that are in need, that hurt today. Lord, we especially pray for those who like Lazarus, that we're going to read about a little later, are ignored or neglected, left to suffer in this world. For those who live in poverty within our own town and in our country. For those who lie in great suffering at the gates of our nation, at the gates of our own doors. Oh God, bind your people together. Make us bright and shining witnesses to your compassion, to your grace, as they are revealed to us in the law and the prophets, as they're revealed to us through Christ Jesus. The one that you raised from the dead. The one that went to the cross for our sake. The one who taught us to pray together. Who taught us this prayer as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from you. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. I invite you to stand with me again as we sing together our next hymn. It's number 130, God Will Take Care of You, hymn number 130. Please be seated. We take a moment each Sunday to recognize our giving, the tithes and offerings we collect here in the church. Last Sunday we had a special collection we took. If you were here, you may remember we had those noisy buckets ringing out throughout our sanctuary as the kids went around. I wanted to give you just a little update on that Readers to Leaders program we're supporting. The VBS kids, later in the summer, a few months back, they started us out on the right path, collecting over $400 that they brought in for that mission. And this past week, we had some noisy buckets that we continue to contribute towards. And I can tell you there were some full buckets, because hauling those coins out to my car to get them over to the machine, I could have used some help, my friends. It was a heavy box of coins I was carrying. And I can't tell you how long I was hunched over that machine. I'm sure the people there at the Myers thought, what is that guy doing over there in the corner? because I was at that machine for some time. But what I do know is this. When I was done, I had put $2 coins through the machine, 9 half dollars through that machine, 1,392 quarters through that machine, 1,881 dimes through the machine, 1,209 nickels through the machine, and 4,012 pennies through that machine. It was a beautiful noise to hear all those coins clinking through that machine. And by the time it was all said and done, if anyone's real good at math, maybe you already have this number, but by the time it was all done and the total was added up, we had $641.17 we put into that machine to go towards that mission. Yes, that is a reason to clap. That was the coins. We also had cash. We had checks that were put into that. All said, with the VBS students' money added together, we are well over $1,200 that we've collected to go to that mission. My friends, the goal that was set out for us by the Michigan Conference for every church in the state was $600. We're over $1,200. We are going to be able to support those students, a good group of students that we'll be able to support. And as we partner with our churches across the state, we are going to change the lives of those students at the Freedom Schools here in Michigan and Flint and Detroit, and our Liberian partners overseas. We are able to make a difference. We make a difference because we care, because we reach out, because we continue to express that love of God to those that we can. I want to say thank you to everyone who helped contribute to that, to everyone who continues to make the missions and ministries of our church possible. We make a difference. You all make a difference. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Of course, we do have the offering box on the organ as we have been. You can give here in person today or, of course, on our website at romeoumc.com through the online giving option there. I thank you for continuing to be the church, to reach out in this world. And as such, I want to offer us this word of thanks, this word of prayer for our collection here today. Beloved God, one who richly provides for our needs and enjoyment, thank you for your many gifts. You have trusted us with our lives, with this world, with your love. So may the gifts we offer you today be used for your service and your glory. Help us store up for ourselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, that we may take hold of the life that really is life. We offer these gifts, trusting in our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is going to come from Luke's Gospel. It's Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, titled The Rich Man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This week sees our Having Words with Jesus worship series come to an end. It's the final week of it. We've spent the past 4 weeks looking at some of the specific words of Jesus, some of his specific lessons that he taught us, some of his difficult lessons he taught us. I hope these words, these lessons have challenged and stretched to all of us. They've done some work on me, I know, helping us to look at our own faith, our own lives, our own place in God's ongoing love story for all of God's creation. And looking at all these past 4 weeks as I kind of reviewed back, Jesus used a common teaching method in each of these weeks, didn't he? He didn't come right out and declare what he was saying. He didn't come out with a list of commands or rules that the people should follow. He didn't do that. Instead, Jesus, in each of these instances, he told the people a story. He told them a parable. And of course, each of these stories, they had a purpose that he was using them for. They had a lesson or an inspiration for those people that he wanted to impart on those that were following him, or perhaps those who were still right on that fence, not quite sure who this Jesus fellow was exactly. But this week I read an article, and it really resonated with me as I reflected on Jesus and his use of storytelling, his use of parables. Can you put that up there for us, Lori? It said, "Story, as it turns out, was crucial to our evolution, more so than opposable thumbs. Opposable thumbs let us hang on. Story told us what to hang on to. Opposable thumbs let us hang on. Story told us what to hang on to." I really loved that. I couldn't agree with that more as I read it this week. We are a people who love to tell stories, aren't we? We love to hear them, have them shared with us. Even if it's the same story over and over again, we love to hear those stories. I cannot tell you the number of times I have read Crocodile and Monkey to Eliza. I can't tell you. She can probably recite it from memory at this point. But still, when she goes to her bookshelf, she brings me Crocodile and Monkey because she loves to hear that story. Some of you have probably had similar instances with your own children or grandchildren. We are a people who love to hear stories. There is a power in a story. And Jesus knew that. That's why Jesus told those stories, those parables. And while I appreciated Lisa Kron's words up there for us, I also think with just a little tweak, maybe it works even better for us here this morning. Can you go ahead and do that for me, Lori? What if it reads, "Story, as it turns out, is crucial to our evolution if we want to grow in our faith. Our faith in God opens the door. Stories tell us what to hang on to, what to strive for." Jesus tries to tell us what to hang on to, what to strive for in our lives, because Jesus knew the power of story, the power of parable. So as we conclude this story, this sermon series, we're going to look at one more story, one that is literally about life and death in this parable, and we're going to look at what it's telling us to hang on to. Again this week, the parable, the title of it, once again sets the stage for us. It tells us what's going to lie ahead. And it was simply titled, "The Rich Man and Lazarus." And again, at first glance, it seems like it's simply telling us who the main players are going to be, who the main characters in this story are going to be. However, as I did some research and reviewed this week, I learned something new this week. In my study and research into this passage, I learned something that I had never seen, never heard, or recognized myself before. You see, throughout the Gospels, we have over 40 parables that Jesus tells us, that Jesus taught from in the Scriptures. However, in this parable from Luke 16, it is the only time, and hear that again, in Luke 16, this parable we read today, it is the only time that one of Jesus' characters is given a proper name. Lazarus, the poor beggar we met today, is the only named character in any of Jesus' parables. This poor beggar lying at the door of the rich man, gladly collecting any scraps that fall from the table, Lazarus, is the only person Jesus gave a name. Now, I'm not going to stand here and suggest that it makes this parable all the more important, or more important than any other parable. I'm not even going to say it makes Lazarus more important himself as an individual. But I'm going to ask a question of us. Why did Jesus make that choice? Why did he name this poor beggar when he had never named a character, never named one of the protagonists of any of his stories before, and he never does again after? Why does he give Lazarus this name? We're going to reflect on that and look for that answer here this morning, but as we do so, I want to start right at the end of today's reading. Can you put that up there for us, Laurie? We ended right at verse 31 with, it read, "He, Abraham, said to the rich man, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The rich man is pleading with Abraham, "Please send this man, send Lazarus back to his brothers. Send him to warn them so that they will not meet the same fate that he has found." Now, there's two things I want to note as I look at this, as I review this scripture. The first being that even in death, even as he's being tormented by those flames, that rich man is still looking down on Lazarus. Think about the words he used, the way he talked. Without hesitation, he's requesting that Lazarus serve him still. That Lazarus should go and dip his finger into the water just to cool that rich man's tongue. He's looking at how Lazarus can serve him. Even in death, he still carries those feelings of entitlement, that he and his brothers are far more important than this man, this poor beggar, Lazarus. So all he sees is someone who can serve him, someone who can meet his own personal desires and needs and wants. But then there's the second thing that I see in this. The second thing I note is in Abraham's words. "Neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This statement, it offers a glimpse into the thinking of that time, of the people and the religious leaders. His suggestion is that even a person returning from the dead, a person coming back that was known dead, could not make a difference. That should be a miraculous thing. That should have created quite a stir, but even that would not be enough to change those brothers' minds. If a prophet were able to accomplish this miracle, people should listen to him. They should follow that person's lead. They should listen if someone can do such a thing. Now, we could easily draw some parallels, and people have over the years, between this and maybe Jesus is alluding to his own death, the death that he knows is coming, and his resurrection. And I wouldn't argue that. That's a reasonable read in this. But it's not where we're going to go today. We're going to go a slightly different direction. Because as I read that, I couldn't help but wonder if Abraham's response isn't because he's alluding to another gospel story we have, another event from the Gospels. And perhaps it would help us if we acknowledge that this name we have in this story, Lazarus, this isn't the only place we see someone with that name in the Gospels, is it? No, it's not. Over in John's Gospel, we have a story about another gentleman named Lazarus. And this individual was a friend of Jesus. He lived in the town of Bethany. He became so ill that his sister sent for Jesus, pleading with Jesus to come and heal their brother. "Come help him out, please," they asked. And if we know the story, we know that Jesus did not make it in time. He did not make it there before Lazarus passed. So he was dead and buried in a tomb. But it's as Jesus arrives to meet with Lazarus' family, with his sisters, that Martha comes forward and Jesus speaks with her about the resurrection. He asks Martha if she believes, and Martha states, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah." Even before Jesus had acted, even before he'd done anything else, with simply the question Martha stated, her belief in Jesus. She believed not because of what she thought Jesus could do for her, but she believed because there was something in her, something that moved in her from knowing Jesus. It was something she felt, a faith she had. And of course, if we've read that gospel story, we know what Jesus did next. He walked to that tomb and he commanded Lazarus to come forth, come out of that tomb. And that man who'd been dead for 4 days, he came walking out and rejoined the land of the living. Martha had faith before she saw that miraculous event. She had faith in Jesus and what Jesus was capable of. She had a faith she felt deep in her soul, a faith that came from learning and holding on to the truths that Jesus was teaching. Martha had faith before she saw the miracle. And remember now with me what Abraham warned that rich man in our parable from today. He said that there were those that even if they saw Lazarus return from the dead, the dead man brought back to life, yet they still would not believe. They would not, they could not put their faith in Jesus, no matter what they witnessed. Christian apologetics is the name given to the branch of Christian theology that has attempted for centuries to prove the Christian faith, to prove it to be real. There have been countless scholars over the years who have spent countless hours researching and studying and writing and researching and studying and writing some more, trying to prove that Christianity has to be real, that the person of Jesus Christ was real, that Jesus was the Son of God. And the basic premise of their studies, of their belief, is that if they can prove that Jesus truly walked, that Jesus was truly hung on that cross and died, and then truly returned to the land of the living, that people would have no option but to believe in Jesus Christ. The sad truth, however, is that is not the case. Despite all their efforts for centuries, that's not the case. And Jesus, I think Jesus himself knew that as he told us this parable. It's the very thing he taught in this parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It's what was seen in the resurrection of his beloved friend Lazarus as well. Because that rich man's brothers, like many others, no matter what they witnessed, no matter what proof they had, were told they would not believe. But that's because the main obstacle of faith, the main obstacle to that faith for them is not a lack of proof. It's an excess of other interests and motivations, other investments that they put their time and their money and their dreams and their power into. They're only concerned with their own needs and wants, just like the rich man was, even in his death. That is their barrier. That is what is preventing them from truly knowing the love of God for themselves. And really, that brings me back around to those questions that I asked a little bit earlier in this message. Why did Jesus make this choice? Why did he name this poor beggar when he never did so before and never does so again? Of course, I don't know for certain. I don't like to speak for Jesus. I don't think Jesus needs me to speak for Jesus. But I think that perhaps Jesus was offering us the opportunity for us to consider who we want to be. Do we want to enter into the life that is to come, one who is gone unnamed, known only as the rich man or the rich woman, as one who can only be identified by our earthly possessions, by all that we accumulated in this life? Or as we enter into that life, do we want to be called by name, like Lazarus? Do we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Because even as that rich man called to Abraham, he was pleading with him for help. But Abraham told him a very difficult, a very painful truth. Abraham told him, "It is impossible for anyone to cross the chasm that is before you. You cannot go from there to here. We cannot go from here to there. There is no way for us to get to the other side. There is nothing we can do, no way we can cross that great divide. It is impossible for us to do so." What is impossible for us? I've seen this before. I'm sure I will see it again. What is impossible for us to do is not impossible for God. With God's help, we are possible. It is possible to do so much more than we could ever dream. On our own, we would be left to the death we deserve, the result of our own sins, the result of sitting at our own tables, leaving nothing but the scraps for the poor beggar outside the door. But Jesus has crossed that gulf. Jesus has come to all who seek, to all who repent, to all who ask for God's help. Jesus has come and crossed that divide. Because that's the other thing that stuck out to me from this passage. That even in death, that rich man never once turned to God. He continued to believe only in his own worth, his own wealth, his own rights, as he called out for Lazarus to come and serve him. His belief that he was worthy of being served. Like so many other stories in the Bible, we often stop and we look at them and we wonder, am I Lazarus? Or am I the rich man? Where do I fit in this story? And this week, I actually saw it suggested that we might very well be neither. They suggested we are actually the brothers and sisters whom that rich man wants to warn. Jesus is telling those who are gathered, Jesus is telling all of us who are hearing this story even centuries later, that there are those who are lovers of money, lovers of the way of the world. They don't need, they won't even respond to special signs, special wonders. They won't know what to do because they are already committed to their God. We've already been given the law and the prophets. We've been shown the way. We've been told how to treat each other. We've been shown the way to get us to faith. And in this story, we're told what happens to those who stray away from God, those who choose to put value in the temporary instead of that which is eternal. Abraham made the declaration quite clearly. There is no way across that divide when our days have ended. But my friends, hear the good news one more time. Because of Jesus Christ, that gulf has already been crossed. We've been shown the way. We've been shown the truth. We've been shown the life that is possible for all who believe. But I have one more question for us this morning. What Lazaruses may be lying at our doors? The doors of our church, the doors of our community, the doors of our country. What Lazaruses are out there in the world? How are we going to choose to respond to them today? Will we see a brother or a sister in need? Will we extend a hand to reach out to them, to meet them and their needs? Or will we allow them to remain at the end of that table, fighting for whatever scraps we no longer need? Our choices matter. Our actions matter. What we do in this world with the time we are given matters. Each one of you matter, because each of us matters to God, and each and every Lazarus out there in the world matters as well. We matter to God. It's why Christ came in the first place. It's why God has not given up on us despite our own shortcomings, our own failures. It's why I pray we can continue to go forth in the love of God, in God's name, to show this world that the kingdom of God is being built here and now. This is not some future destination we're working towards. God's kingdom is here and now as we build it. It's up to us to show the world what that looks like, to show the world what the love of our Lord and Savior looks like, what the love of God looks like in action. What we can do when we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. Thanks be to God who has called each one of us his beloved. The God who calls each of us by name. The God who calls each of us his own. To the one who has crossed that gulf. The one who has never let us go. Be all honor and praise and glory now and forever. Amen.
So for those who are able, let's stand for our last song.
though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me, and my God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, he never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, he never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, he never let go, Lord, he never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming from the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, he never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, he never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, he never let go, Lord, he never let go of me. Cause I can see the light that is coming from the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, he never let go, Lord, he never let go of me. Oh no, he never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, he never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, he never let go, Lord, he never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me.
Thank you, Jesus.
As we leave this place, may our eyes be open to those who lie at our gates. With the love of Christ within us, may we see the hungry and the hurting, the abused and the forgotten. May we seek to share the blessings we have been giving. Know that our Lord never lets go of us. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, may we go to be a blessing to all we encounter. Amen.